We've been talking about faith, and faith is what keeps us in this world. Our knowledge of the finished work of Christ. The knowledge of Christ, to know Christ, is life. It's life. We were separated from God. We last week spoke on Joseph and Jacob. The week before that we spoke of Isaac, who blessed Jacob and Esau. Now we're going to follow his faith with what we've been going on, because it's all faith in the Lord. Everything in this book is about Christ. There's nothing else. It's all Christ. When Isaac blessed his sons, Isaac was blind, he could not see. He blessed his sons. Esau received temporal worldly blessings by deception, because Jacob, the one who's chosen of God, Jacob have I loved, yet Esau have I hated, deceived his father and received the temporal blessings. Yet Isaac, now put this on what he just told you of living for God and living for Christ and the faith in God and the finished work of Christ. Isaac, even though he was deceived, was in full faith that the blessings he had given would be fulfilled in Christ. Of Jacob and Esau. And when we went through that, we made mention of Herod himself being of the tribe of Esau. We made mention of Esau being red. We made mention of Adam, the name itself meaning red, from the red clay. And Esau teaching us the natural man, and Jacob teaching us our nature, sinful, death, and fallen Adam. Yet God loved Jacob, and God would save Jacob, his people, Israel. We talked about Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. This was last week, as Joseph was in bondage of Egypt, and as he was sold into Egypt by his brethren. And we talked about them coming in because of the dearth and hunger, and how the providence of God worked in working His will. As we live in this world and we see the bondage of the world around us, and we see the darkness of the world around us, and all the things that confront us daily that cause our heart to pain and become jealous for the God of hosts, we must understand that even when we are in this world, even when we are distressed, even when we are discouraged, even when we're sick or ill or whatever circumstance befalls us in this world, that God's purpose is and will be. Joseph was blessed in Egypt. Joseph was in captivity. Joseph was sold, yet God blessed him. What they, his brothers, meant for evil, God meant for good. You see the providence of God there. God did not make them to sell their brother into bondage, but what they intended to do with their brother because of the dream where they would bow to him, God suffered that to be. And God, what they meant for evil, God meant for good. We made a point with that last week speaking. And as I told you last week, I've said it many times, that nothing happens in this world unless it's either ordained of God or suffered to be of God. God is a God of means, and God uses the things of this world many times to help and temporally save His people. Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph said, I must die. We all must die. We're all sinners. But you see, the point was made that Joseph died in Egypt. Egypt was not his home. Egypt was not his place. This world is not our home. This world is not our place. We're passing through this world. Past the time of your sojourning here in fear and trembling. We're passing through. We're strangers in this world. Just as Egypt was not the home of Joseph, for God had promised them Canaan. His bones would be taken back to Canaan. It would be such a length of time would transpire. And Joseph knew this, for God had revealed it unto him and promised it to Abraham. Over 400 years he'd be in bondage. If memory serves me correctly, they were about 200 years in Egypt at this time. But the point being made that as Joseph's bones would not be left in Egypt, but would be taken home after a great length of time, his bones, not his body, the body decayed and went away, that our bones, our bodies will not be left in this world. We're not of this world. We're not from this world. We're chosen of God. Our home is in glory. Christ said, remember going through what's built and what's prepared. The church in the world is built. Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus said he went to prepare a place for us. Joseph was going to the place that's prepared, that God would make. That's teaching us that we go to a place prepared, that we go to heaven in immortal glory. Our bones, our body will not remain in this world. And we come down to today's text. By faith, Moses, you pray for me, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. First, let me get to Acts 7. I got a napkin to mark this morning. If you start in verse 20 of Acts 7, you'll read about Moses and Stephen's discourse. Moses was fair to look upon exceedingly. Back over here, he says that he was a goodly, a proper child. In Exodus 2, it talks about how fair he was. I want to make a point with that. When God took the kingdom from Saul, he told Jesse the Ephraimite, he told Samuel to go down to the house of Jesse the Ephraimite, for God said, I have chosen, I have ordained one from the house of Jesse to be king. We know this is pointing to Christ, and we know he's talking about David, but let me make my point of a goodly child, a proper child. It's not talking about Moses' beauty, physical beauty as a child. God does not look upon our natural flesh or our beauty. Now, when Samuel came to view these children, all of Jesse's sons passed before Samuel. Some were of great stature, some were strong, some were fair to look upon. God said, it's not him, it's not him, it's not him. He said, and I'm paraphrasing this, he said, I, the Lord, look not upon a man's height nor his stature, his comeliness. He said, I look upon his heart. Yes. And I want you to understand that when the Bible says that Moses was a proper child, it's not talking about the beauty of the man. Moses stuttered. He was slow of speech. That's not something that's beautiful in a man's eyes. But he was beautiful in the eyes of God because Moses was the one that had been prophesied to Abraham that would lead God's people out of the bondage of Egypt. When that 400 some odd years had come to pass, God would send them one to deliver them. So when the Bible says he was proper to look upon, you understand what is being spoken of. Well, you talk like they knew who he was. Let me tell you something. Moses knew full well what he was born to do when the time came. John the Baptist lived his life in the wilderness, wearing the leather, eating locust and honey. John the Baptist full well knew that he was the one that God chose and ordained to pave the way for the Son of God in this world. So don't you doubt that Moses did not know that when the time came. Moses, so much to say. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. We go back to Exodus. We find the time. Why was he hid? Think about this world today. Think about the evil in this world today. Think about what's around us this day. I told you last week about this. And when they were killing the children, God sent a deliverer. In the day when Christ was born, 2 years later, Herod killed every child from 2 years old and under. Because Christ, our deliverer, was in the world. Rachel weeping for her children, it said in the Old Testament. They're killing children again today. It may just be that Christ is not far away. But listen, the king, the Pharaoh, which knew not Joseph, saw the children of God. You take this by faith and you understand. God multiplies his people. God blesses his people. God gives his people strength. God carries his people. God cannot forsake his people. He is with them and he always delivers his people in one way or another. God has never, ever failed and never will. And there's not a child of God that will ever be lost. Somebody tells me you need to pray for the lost. Who's lost? Who has God lost? Who will God lose? Not one. Not one. And that brings us back to faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Pharaoh told the midwives, when the Hebrew women deliver, kill the child. If it's a male, if it's a daughter, let it live. Can you put that in line with today? Why do they always take the women? Why do they always save the women? Why do they always capture and enslave the women? Because then they possess the seed. Then they can corrupt the seed. For the woman bears the child. Why do they kill the man? Because then there's no one to fight. There's no one to save. There's no one to deliver. There's no one to teach. Do you not see that today in society, in the governments of men? China years ago was killing every male child that was born after the first one. If you had a second child with a male, they killed it. You think it can't happen again? I beg you to differ. And think about that. Moses was born, the scripture says, he was hid 3 months. His mother, for these midwives, would not do that. And I'm going to come to the point with it. He said, every son that is born shall you cast in the river, and every daughter shall you save alive. Now let me have you think of something fast forwarding. When God parted the Red Sea, by faith the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. We'll cover that as we go through here. What did God do to Pharaoh's army when they came in? He drowned them. Yeah. What had Pharaoh done to the sons of Israel? He had drowned them. You see the judgment of God. You see deliverance of God upon the wicked. I'm going to tell you, I was reading the thing the other day. I wasn't going to say anything about this, but I'm going to say it because it's on my mind. This guy that formed the Satan church and worship and made the satanic Bible, when he came to the point of death, the last words he said, breathing air. Now you be the judge of this. What have I done? What have I done? Something is terribly wrong. Now that sent a chill down my spine. That man was not seeing Christ. And he was leaving this world. God delivers his people, okay? Moses was hid 3 months. Let's think about that. The man of Levi took a woman of Levi, bare a son. She saw him, that he was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. Think about this. Think about this. A woman's gestation period is normally about 9 months. About the third month, the woman starts showing that she's with child. If I'm not mistaken, I'm a man. I've never bore a child, but memory serves me that way. This 6 month period of time in this land, now you think about living in this world. This 6 month period of time, this woman was carrying Moses and was exposing that she was with child. Do you not think that Pharaoh and his forces took note of who was with child and who was not with child? By faith, I full well believe that since they knew this was a goodly child, that this was a proper child. I full well believe the Bible is teaching us that she knew this child was the one that God would send to deliver Israel from Egypt. She hid herself. This is speaking about the faith of the parents of Moses. She had to hide herself. And when the child was born, she hid the child for 3 months. What was the commandment of the king? By faith, they disobeyed the commandment of the king. We're taught to obey every ordinance of the king. That's in order to keep peace in this world. But by faith, they disobeyed the law of the king. Let me tell you something. Speaking of the coin and taxes, Jesus said, render tribute to whom tribute is due. Taxes to Caesar. Regarding laws, if the laws of a nation are righteous, if the laws of a nation are godly, if they're patterned after the commandments that God gave to Moses to worship God, to love each other, and to be a terror to evil, Romans 13, then we obey those laws. What would we do? What would we do if they came in this land and they started as they did in China? Your second born son will be put to death at birth. Would you obey that law? God respected them disobeying the king by faith in God, knowing it was not godly, it was not of God, and they hid Moses 3 months. That's the faith of his parents. The faith of his parents. We live in a world in which we're hated. We obey the law because we're talking about faith. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is the gift of God. If we're told by government to do things that are illegal, is our allegiance going to be to the king or to God? I got in trouble many times at work. They tell me to do stuff that was unconstitutional. I said, I will not do it. 20 years, I never once wrote a curfew violation. You cannot tell someone they cannot walk down the street at a certain time of day in this republic, and I refuse to do it. Now, that's not allegiance to God. That was allegiance to the Constitution, but it's making a point of our allegiance to God in heaven. He was hid 3 months. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Why were they not afraid of the king? Faith, brethren, in God. We live a life in service to God, as Steve has told us, living with our bodies, a living sacrifice, loving our families, loving the church, loving the brotherhood, loving the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in this land. We're not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You can go to Exodus 2 and see that when Moses was grown, how old was he? Acts 7 tells us he was 40 years old in verse 23. When he was come 2 years, he's not a child. He's not acting on childish emotions. He's a full-grown man, 40 years of age. 40 is a time of judgment. Moses was 40 when this happened. He was full 80, another 40 years, when God called him out of the desert, the backside of the desert. And he led the children of Israel 40 years through the wilderness, 120 years old. We're never too old to serve God, but let's stay the text. By faith, Moses, when he's come to years, 40 years old, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How did he do that? This is by faith, a fruit of the Spirit. Verse 11, Exodus. Moses looked on his brethren. He saw their burdens. He spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew. Moses had been, at some point, born of the Spirit of God because he had faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. The wicked have faith in themselves, not God. Moses had a pain in his heart of his brethren being afflicted. Moses had a love of his brethren. Just as we have a pain in our heart of the children of God and the afflictions that they have this day in this world. And we love our brethren. We love every child of God. There may be some we don't get along with, but we know in glory we will get along with all and everything will be perfect. And we love them in Christ. Faith, brethren. By faith, Moses saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. Acts 7, 24. And seeing one of them suffered wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. You catch that? By faith, Moses killed an Egyptian. The Old Testament's full of violence. Full of violence. It's not the type of spirit we are. We're not supposed to fight wars. We fight with the sword of the Spirit. Let me say that. But by faith, Moses smote this Egyptian. He had a love in his heart for God, for God's people, for God's chosen, manifested in that day in the nation of Israel. He smote the Egyptian. Now watch this. For he supposed his brethren, you don't think Moses knew what he was doing before this time? For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. Moses full well knew that. I believe Moses' parents full well knew that. It was prophesied to Abraham. They knew that time was coming. Now let's bring it back to today. We know that time of deliverance is coming. We've already made mention of the killing of the children. Satan desires to kill seed of God's people. Satan desires to kill the marriage. Satan desires to kill society, turn everything into wickedness. He knows his days are few. He knows their number. He's wrath. And he goes to make war with the remnant of the children of God who keep the testimony of God. Moses supposed his brethren would have understood that God, by Moses, would deliver them, but they understood not. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of Canaan. Moses chose to kill that Egyptian. Moses was brought up in Egypt. He would have inherited everything in Egypt. Would have been the king himself. All of the cities and monuments the enslaved Israelites had built, Moses would have inherited. He would have had a free hand to everything in Egypt. Riches and flesh. Oh, would the natural man not love that? Why did Moses choose to suffer affliction? Why did Moses have faith? Because he was born of the Spirit of God. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You remember the story. They put him in the true history. They put him in the ark made of bulrushes. You don't think God works His providence? In this time, let's talk about that for just a minute. In this time when they were murdering children and Moses' parents hid him and his mother, some people say they disobeyed God. They stood in fear of God. That's not what the Bible says. God works in His providential way in our lives. They made an ark of bulrush and pitch and slime and placed Moses in the vegetation there in the water. Moses' sister was off to see what was going on, and lo and behold, by coincidence, not hardly, here comes Pharaoh's daughter. Daughter, to wash herself and seize the baby among the flags, the visitation. She sent her maid to fetch it. You see the providence of God. Do you see the providence of God? Have faith in God, period. In Christ, period. This child is set in the river. God has it all worked out and arranged before it ever came to pass. Pharaoh's daughter comes down to wash. She sees the child. She sends her maids to take the child out of the water. The sister of Moses is there. Should I go and fetch one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child? Because she's not a child. She can't nurse the child. You have to have had a child to be able to nurse a child. Because the body's designed to provide that food for the child. Lo and behold, who comes up to feed the child? This wasn't by accident. Brethren, this is the providence of God. This is the providence of God in our lives in this temporal, vile, sinful world as He delivers us. Have faith in Christ. It was Moses' own mother who nursed the child. Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction when he slew that Egyptian and buried him in the sand. He full well knew the consequences in Egypt. Yet he also full well knew the purpose of God with Moses and the promise of God who cannot lie that was made to Abraham that God would deliver His people. And Moses, I do believe, full well knowing he was the one that God would deliver them by. He chose, instead of all the riches and power in Egypt, the inheritance of the king, which he would have, to suffer affliction with the people of God. Do not ever let Satan tempt you with something of the world. And I'll tell you this right now, you can't get away from it without God. That's why we're told to pray, as Steve is teaching us. Men ought always to pray. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And I appreciate you saying that so much about the thoughts of our mind. They make me ashamed of myself. And I cry out just from the thoughts, Lord God, help me or kill me. I'm tired of this. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. The reproach of Christ. The world looks at us in shame, in disgust. We're fools to them. We celebrate, we live for, we worship this man, Jesus Christ. It's not given for them to know that He rose from the dead. It's not given to them to know, because Satan keeps them deceived, that He is the Lord, the Son of God, that He laid His life down, and He raised it up, and He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know these things by faith. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, these shameful, stupid people that worship this man, they can't see the difference between the Son of God and Muhammad or any other pagan god. They worship a pedophile named Muhammad. We worship the Son of God. Why? Because God chose us, because God loves us, because Christ died for us, because God reveals this to us, and by faith we're to walk in accordance to the way that Christ walked in this world. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I'm going to tell you, Steve and I have talked about this, and he mentioned it today. On those few times in life when things seem so dark and some things seem so hard, and for just a brief glimpse in our life, from once or twice or three times maybe, we will see Christ by faith in our heart, and the bliss, the glory of God in our heart, the joy and the mourning combined together, have the presence of Christ within us that far surpasses the treasures of this world. There is nothing that will vanish away. Faith, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches in Egypt. You see by the faith of Moses how he was moved of the Holy Spirit and had faith in Christ. Yes, Christ. Christ was preached to them. Job spoke of his Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. That was before any of the books of the Bible were written. Okay? God reveals Himself to His own. For He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had respect, I believe, just as Job, that he knew that Christ would come into this world, lowering himself down to the body of a man to suffer our sin debt, beaten, spit upon, what's the word say, enduring the cross, as if, but despising the shame. The perfect, holy Son of God bearing our shame. Moses knew that was coming. There's the recompense of the reward. That's pointing to eternal glory, the resurrection, and to see Him as He is. Oh, there's nothing ever possible could beat that. The creation of the world, the moon, the stars, the sun, and the earth will bear absolutely nothing on the morning when the sons of God shouted for joy, will bear to nothing compared to seeing Him as He is. For the Creator has more glory than the creation. And we will see that. But is also here Moses, seeing temporally and more timely and available, sooner coming, the deliverance of God's people from Egypt. We'll take up here next week. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured to seeing him that who is invisible. That's Christ. We know that. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You remember, Moses did not leave Egypt because he was afraid of the king. Moses left Egypt and spent 40 years in the backside of the desert, knowing that God will full well work his purpose in his time. And 40 years later, when Moses was 80, God would call him to do that service. Faith. Yes, faith without works is dead, because our works manifest our faith to others, and God gets the glory.